Shalom, and thank you for listening to sermons from Tikvat Israel, a Messianic synagogue in the heart of Richmond, Virginia. Listening to the podcast is great, but if you want the full experience, please join us on Zoom or in the building Saturday mornings at 10 a.m. for our worship service. For the Zoom link, please contact tikvatdirector@gmail.com or contact us on our website, tikvatisrael.com. There you can also support the ministry, learn more about Messianic Judaism, and find helpful resources. May Hashem bless you through the hearing of His word.
One of my favorite places to go to get a special treat here in Richmond is called Gelati Celesti. I believe it's one of Jason Linus's favorite as well. Can you confirm that, Jason? Yes, he is giving me the nod. All right. This roughly translates Gelati Celesti. I think it means heavenly ice cream, right? Celesti and gelati, right? It's a staple of RVA here, and there's a sign in every store which reads like this. Let's read it together. Without ice cream, there would be darkness and chaos. Interesting. Well, I don't know about that. I don't know why you said that with me. You guys are just going along with this. But I do know what really drives out the darkness and the chaos. And friends, I don't think it's ice cream. Don't think so. Darkness and chaos in Hebrew is tohu vavohu. Can we try that? Oh, you want to say ice cream, but you don't want to say the Hebrew, huh? I see how it is. All right, try again. Tohu vavohu. It's the darkness and the chaos, or the void, right? This is the original tsuris that we've been talking about. Darkness, depression, troubles, anxiety, the narrow, restricted place. It's the chaotic darkness and void that existed before the creation, before the spirit of the Creator hovered over the chaotic waters and said, let there be, don't take my line, come on now, let there be light. And there's supposed to be angels singing here. There we go. Okay, I guess that's it. That was underwhelming. It was loading. You want to do it again? Should we do it again? All right. And God dispelled the darkness, and he said, let there be light. All right. I'm not doing it a third time. Lloyd did it a third time, but I'm not going to do it. Okay. Where was I? In my most recent sermons, we have moved from tsuris to shalom by wrangling our wayward thoughts of anxiety from the animal brain and lassoing them to the truth. We went from tsuris to healing, anchoring our sorrows in the suffering servant, the leper scholar, the man of sorrows. And today, we are going from tsuris to glory. Let there be light. You know, it's hard to imagine darker times than these in the United States, at least in my lifetime. But what has flourished in our little Messianic Jewish community during this global epidemic from February until now? The vision to integrate new prayers and new songs within our Jewish liturgical tradition has flourished, thanks to the efforts of our lay cantorial and musical worship leaders and team. The first day I shared this vision with David Haller, he had a new worship song based on the prayer the very next day. He was so excited. On that note, many of our lay cantors and musical worship leaders, almost all of them, are taking a class with the UMJC, where they are being equipped to learn about the traditional liturgy of our people, as well as innovations and ways to integrate the new covenant within that tradition. Our Oneg room downstairs, have you seen it? You may not have, because we don't go down there. It's been completely transformed. It's been painted and decorated with beautiful pictures of the Holy Land of Israel taken by our own Ray Linus. Baruch Hashem. God provided for us to shore up the balcony, right? Have you noticed this? We can use it now, and it's safe. And there's a door there that wasn't there before, so you can go up and over, and it's kind of cool, right? God provided for us to protect our kitchen from flooding, right? As God promised to Noah, this synagogue will no longer be in danger from flooding. Amen. But has the favor and grace of God upon it. I have started meeting with Jewish men doing what I call exploratora every week for the past 2 months. Guys that have never come to our synagogue building are coming every week to this, hungry with questions about God's word. God has blessed me to be able to come alongside, build relationships, and study the Torah with these Jewish men. This includes Jews who have clung to Yeshua recently and those who have not yet done so. We have hired an assistant to support Maggie, our hardworking administrator. Where is she? She's in the back. She's hardworking, right? Even now, right? This young lady that we hired, the assistant, has proved an asset to our community and to our staff with a unique set of skills and gifts and a heart to bless and serve others. We have started having TikToks. What is that? Topical teachings led by our own members who have a passion to share something that will bless others. And we have a couple really cool ones lined up for the months to come, including one from Kathy Berry and one from Virginia. I think she's ushering. There you are. All right. Very good. Yeah, it's exciting. Just before the pandemic, we hosted an Emerging Leaders Conference for Tikkun, one of our umbrella organizations. Leaders that had a historic connection to our community were here on the Bima, teaching and blessing us, including Ben Juster, the son of Dan Juster, who helped to plant this synagogue. He came back and he was here on the Bima. Matt Rudolph, no relation to Rabbi David Rudolph, it's a different Rudolph family, but he actually came here to this synagogue as a youngster, right? And he came back and shared what God was doing. And his organization, they had an office where Redeemer's offices are now, and he came back to share and bless. Jerry Miller, who was involved with our congregation's inception, came and shared what God put on his heart. We have started translating many of our sermons into Spanish and Portuguese so that folks who were once unable to hear the word of the Torah preached are now able to understand. We also have the original sound broadcasted in English so that those who have difficulty hearing are able to hear and understand. Baruch Hashem, God has done this. We have restarted our Hebrew classes with our awesome pastoral and patient teachers, Wayne and Eric. Baruch Hashem. This pandemic has caused us to seek new ways to reach folks so that people like my mother-in-law, who lives in New Jersey, have been able to come to every Shabbat service and be a real part of our community. And folks that still aren't able to come to the building are able to be a part of our community still. We have a vibrant stream team, and my wife, Sonia, has patiently trained just about everybody and their mother back there on how to use the system and to keep our folks connected. Baruch Hashem. Our staff and member volunteers have spent hours and hours adjusting our service when we came back in the building. How are we going to do this? How are we going to make it safe? They put in their blood, sweat, and tears thinking about how to streamline our service so it's not as long, how to keep it everyone safe and healthy. And many leaders stay after this service to wipe down all the surfaces and clean up long after everyone has gone home. This pandemic has caused me to learn more about streaming and sound than I ever thought I ever wanted to know. For example, a few months ago, I was struggling as to how to get the sound system from the board back there connected to the computer to share our sound with the folks that were on the Zoom call. Does that make sense? You following with me? Okay. So I did a quick YouTube search, the name of our sound system, which is Behringer, and streaming. And a friendly voice popped up, and he said, you know, many churches and congregations are starting to stream their services, and so let me show you how to do that. And I'm thinking, wow, this guy is in ministry, and it's what a cool find in terms of the video. It's exactly what I need. So the video accompanying the helpful voice, it was pointed at the sound system. And he's just pressed buttons, so I just pressed the same buttons that he was pressing, right? And voila, let there be sound. I started a Zoom room with my wife. She was at home, and I was at the synagogue. And I spoke into the microphone that I'm holding now, and she could hear me through the system. Baruch Hashem. The first Saturday back in the building, July 4th, the folks on Zoom had an interesting experience. It seemed that they were experiencing musical worship karaoke. They saw the words that the projector man was projecting in the back. Thank you, Jason, Gordon, and Robert. They are an awesome team, by the way. They heard the instruments that David Haller and the team were playing, but they heard no vocals from the worship stage. Not all the sound was going to the system, through the system to Zoom, only the instruments. So while musical karaoke is fun for maybe one Saturday, it's probably not ideal for the long haul. So I set about to try to fix the problem, and I remembered the helpful video I found on YouTube in my random search. So I figured, well, maybe this guy can help. So I found his YouTube channel, and then I found his website, where it's called Dave Alum Sound, and the front page has a section about Dave. And I scroll down, and it says, Dave Alum is a native of Richmond, Virginia, and graduated with a music degree at VCU. So I'm thinking, okay, maybe the guy is still around, you know, if he's from here and went to VCU. Turns out he is the worship leader and sound engineer for Area 10 Church, the church that meets in the Bird Theater, literally around the corner from where I was. This was a random helpful video. The guy could have been in Norway, right? But he was literally around the corner. So I sent him an email. And I said, hey, I found your video, and it was extremely helpful. This is, I'm having, you know, worship karaoke. Do you think you could help us out with that? By the way, I'm also around the corner. And he gets back to me, and essentially the next day, he comes into our sanctuary back there and helps me fix the problem. Baruch Hashem. My point in sharing all of this is that in the midst of darkness, the light of God is shining upon us. Yes, God cares about the sound system of our tiny community. He cares that the folks at home can hear the voices of the worshipers on that stage. He cares about encouraging us when we're feeling down. He cares about every hair on our heads. He cares about your bad day, your cat, your tough conversation. He cares about your loneliness, your frustration, your tsuris. In the midst of isolation, fear, anxiety, narrowing, constricting, brokenness, darkness, shines the glory of God, the light of the world. In researching this week's Haftarah portion, I found this story from theologian Neil Platinga, former president of the Calvin Theological Seminary. Dr. Platinga uses the Christian terms for Yeshua the Messiah in his quote, which I have preserved. Quote, my mentor, Douglas Nelson, once told of attending a performance of Handel's Messiah in Edinburgh. It was December, and darkness covered the earth as it does there at that time of year. The musicians kindled the light of God's grace that shines from just about every page of Handel's score. My mentor was particularly moved by the bass soloist, whose singing that night seemed to come up from a well of love and sorrow that was desperately deep. In the newspaper the next day, there was a story about him. It said that a few hours before the performance of the previous night, the bass soloist had gotten the news that his son in England had been killed in a crash. Yet the singer had decided to go ahead with his part in the music. So the bereaved father walked out onto the stage, and some of you know the recitative, I'm sorry, some of you know the song he needed to sing. These are the words. For behold, darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the peoples, but the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. That's from our Haftarah portion. My son is dead, but the Lord shall arise. My heart is broken, but the Lord shall arise. Everybody in the Middle East has somebody to hate, but the Lord shall arise. Half the children in an African village have AIDS, but the Lord shall arise. The Church of Jesus Christ is in Babylonian captivity, depressed by her sexual abuse scandals, depressed by her schisms, depressed by the terrible irony that her people glare at each other over the question of how to worship God. The Church of Jesus Christ is in Babylonian captivity, but the Lord shall arise, unquote. Let's check out some excerpts from this week's Haftarah portion in Isaiah 60, which we have sung about, and we have read, we have talked about. Let's take a closer look. This is when the community of Israel is kicked out of the land, weeping by the rivers of Babylon. The temple of God's presence is destroyed, and they are all in captivity, broken, exiled from the land of milk and honey. And then, in that moment, Isaiah proclaims this. Let's read the parts in bold together as a community. Arise, shine, for your light has come. The glory of Adonai has risen upon you. Together. For behold, darkness covers the earth, and deep darkness the peoples. But Adonai will rise upon you, and his glory will appear over you. This is the primordial darkness and chaos before creation. And then there was ice cream? No. Then there was the light of Adonai. The light of God shines in the darkness, and the darkness does not overcome it. Continuing, nations will come to your light, kings to the brilliance of your rising, together. Lift up your eyes and look all around. They all gather, they come to you. Your sons will come from far away, your daughters carried on the hip. Then you will see and be radiant, and your heart will throb and swell with joy, for the abundance of the sea will be turned over to you. The wealth of nations will come to you. A multitude of camels will cover you, young camels of Midian and Ephah. All those from Sheba will come. They will bring gold and frankincense and proclaim the praises of Adonai. Gold and frankincense. I seem to recall a story where some nations brought that to someone. I'm trying to think. Foreigners will build up your walls, and their kings will minister to you. For in my fury I struck you, but in my favor I will show you mercy. Together, your gates will be open continually. They will not be shut day or night, so that men may bring to you the wealth of the nations, with their kings led in procession. For the nation and the kingdom which will not serve you will perish. Those nations will be utterly ruined. The glory of Lebanon will come to you, cypress, elm, and pine together, to beautify the place of my sanctuary. I will give to the place of my feet glory. The sons of those who afflicted you will come bowing to you. All those who despised you will fall at the soles of your feet. They will call you the city of Adonai, Zion of the Holy One of Israel. I will make shalom your overseer and righteousness your taskmasters, right? Not Egypt, not Babylon, not the Romans, not sin. Shalom. Shalom is our taskmaster. Righteousness is our overseer. No more will violence be heard in your land, devastation nor destruction within your borders, but you will call your walls salvation and your gates praise together. No more will the sun be your light by day, nor the glow of the moon be your light, but Adonai will be your everlasting light and your God for your glory. Again, Dr. Platinga has a great explanation of this. Quote, so much light in this chapter, so much of God's glory rising like the sun, so many kings and queens in all their splendor, so much of the world's treasure pouring into the city of God, all of it carried in royal procession through city gates that never close. The treasure is premium quality, and it comes from every direction. Ships sail in from the west with gold and silver. Ships move in from Tarshish with Jewish babies in the arms of their nannies. From the east, the gifts of the Arabian tribes come in overland on the backs of camels, which are the ships of the desert. Gold and frankincense come in with the desert tribes who stream through the gates. It's Israel's homecoming. It's God's epiphany. Everybody brings a gift. Not just any gift. These are the treasures of the people who bring them. These are the things they're known for. When lumber comes through the gate to rebuild God's temple, it can't be Michigan pine. It's got to be Lebanese pine or Lebanese cypress. The lumber has to come down from the north in Lebanon because lumber is Lebanon's glory, unquote. Think of the trees of Lebanon, right, that we read about in the Psalms. In the darkness and chaos before the creation, God brought light. In the darkness of the pit, the bottom of the well, his mother dead, rejected by his brothers, Joseph was raised to glory so that those who despised him kneeled at his feet because the light of forgiveness and trusting glorified Joseph. In the midst of the slavery in Egypt, we cried out and we were rescued through the waters of chaos. When we were in captivity in Babylon, weeping by the river, with the holy temple destroyed, God sent his presence to Ezekiel, which was supposed to be in the temple, but there was no temple. But there was the presence of God on his throne, on the Godmobile, essentially, the chariot that carried the presence of God. And then he sent his servant, Cyrus, from the nations to finance the rebuilding of Jerusalem. And he sent Ezra and Nehemiah to bring Israel back and teach them the Torah. When we were under Roman occupation, groaning for our freedom, God sent a helpless baby, and the nations, the Magi, brought him gold and frankincense and myrrh. The wealth of the Magi, the best that the nations had to offer, followed the shining star and knelt in worship before a baby born in a feeding trough. The King of the Jews is what they were looking for. God is here. God is moving. God is shining within you. He is shining upon you. His glory and his brightness are here. The kingdom of heaven is upon you. Do not be discouraged. Do not be afraid. The Lord is your light and your rescuing. The chaos and darkness of this world are fading away. Pay them no mind. Don't let them occupy your gaze. Fix your eyes, rather, on him, the light of the world. You know, our tsuris, our isolation, our troubles, it has a purpose. The glory and brightness of God shines through the darkness in our lowest moments. He even uses what the accuser, the Satan, means for evil and turns it around for our good. He's just that sovereign. These troubles that we're going through, they are refining us like gold in the hot furnace. The troubles get out the dross, and what's left? The pure gold shining like the stars. The darkness and the tsuris and the troubles are where the light of God intervenes. Beloved, you are moving from tsuris to glory. Let there be light. I want to leave you with one final thought from 2 Corinthians 4:6. This is what Paul encourages us with. For God, who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," is the one who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Messiah. Let's read it again together. For God, who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," is the one who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Messiah. Let's pray. Avinu, you said to us, "Arise, shine." How can we shine in the midst of the darkness? It seems impossible. But with you, all things are possible. And you love to bring your light and your forgiveness and your restoration and your glory to our dark world. And we know that because you sent your Son, Yeshua, who is the light of the world, who told us that we are the light of the world in him. I pray that your light would shine in us before humans, that they would see not us, but they would see you, Lord, and that your kingdom of light, your kingdom of heaven would spread from Zion to all the nations of the earth, that you would be glorified, that you would be made known, that you would be made bright, because you are the light, Lord. You are our salvation. And when we're low, we call on you and you rescue us. And in Yeshua's name we pray. Amen.